Good evening. Welcome to our Christmas Eve communion service. Let's just open with a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your plan of salvation. Thank you that tomorrow we will remember the birth of our Saviour, our King, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. But tonight we meet together to remember his sacrifice, his blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. We meet together to celebrate because in his death, in his resurrection, we have life and life eternal. And the free gift is given for all who will believe and trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Bless those who can't be with us this evening and bless us as we come into your presence, as we choose to spend just a few minutes worshipping and praising you. Thank you for our salvation and thank you for the Advent and Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible is clear when it tells us that there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus is the Messiah, the one long prophesied. He came, he lived a perfect, spotless life. He died in our place because he was at the perfect time, he was the perfect gift that was given for us. You know, timing is everything. Have you ever had something happen at just the right moment? I think we've all experienced that at some stage or another. When we need something the most, when we need something to happen the most, God does step in. Perhaps it was that you received a word of encouragement. Perhaps you had a kind gesture done for you. Perhaps you received a much needed answer. Perfect timing should have a way of making us sit up and take notice that God is the one who's in control. As we gather on this evening, we remember that Christmas isn't just about a celebration of a baby being born. It's the celebration of a Saviour coming at the perfect time. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul captures the significance of the coming of Christ. But when the right time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. This is a wonderful verse. It shows us that Jesus' birth was no accident. It was God's deliberate and God's perfect plan. Three truths I want us to explore this evening: God's perfect timing, the purpose of Jesus' coming, and the gift of adoption. And then we'll take communion together and reflect on the wonderful gift that we have been given. The table reminds us of the love of our Saviour, the love of the Father, love poured out for us that we might be saved and redeemed. The perfect timing. Paul begins in Galatians 4:4 by saying, "But when the right time came, God sent his Son." The Greek phrase that's used here means the fullness of time. It was at exactly the right moment. Not too soon, not too late. Exactly as planned by God. The timing of Jesus' arrival was planned to the second. We may celebrate the birth of Jesus on the 25th of December. The reality is he wasn't born on the 25th of December. The date, the day of the year that he was born is not important. What is important is that we recognise that he truly came, that he was born, that he lived a perfect, spotless life, and then willingly went to that cross to bear the penalty for our sin. His death wasn't coincidence. It was required for us to be forgiven. Historically, the world was prepared for the arrival of the Messiah. It had been prophesied for many, many years. Politically, back then, the Roman Empire provided relative stability to the people. There was an infrastructure of roads there, people could travel, and actually the Roman roads helped the spread of the gospel. And culturally, at that time, the Greek language was used, it was widely spoken, it meant people could communicate with one another. And spiritually back then, there was a growing hunger for hope, for redemption amongst the people. Isaiah 46:10 reminds us, "Only I can tell you the future before it happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. God is the one who orchestrates history, and he orchestrated it to ensure that Jesus came at the perfect moment. And God's timing is still perfect in our lives today. Sometimes we might grow impatient. Sometimes we need to learn to trust him before he will actually act. But his timing is perfect, just like the timed arrival of Jesus. Maybe you've heard the analogy before. If you think about a weaver making a tapestry, from the back, the threads all hang down. It looks messy. It looks chaotic. But when the work is complete and turned over, the beauty of the design is revealed. And God weaves his tapestry in our lives every day. At times, it may feel messy. At times, we may look messy. But God is at work. It was Max Lucado who said, God's timing is impeccable. He may not be early, but he's never, ever late. And that's a wonderful comfort for us to know that God will act at the right time. Second point, the purpose of Jesus' coming. Paul continues, God sent the Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. Jesus came with a specific purpose, to save us from the burden of our sin, to redeem us. The word redeem in Greek means to buy back, to purchase freedom. And in the ancient world, slaves could be redeemed. They could be freed for the payment of a price. And Jesus came to pay the ultimate price for you and for me. To purchase our freedom, he died. There was no greater sacrifice. There was no other way than for him to die in our place. Romans 6:23 explains it this way, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Born of a woman, he was fully human. He experienced the struggles and the temptations of life. And subject to the law, Jesus perfectly fulfilled the requirements of the law, something that we would never, ever be able to do. Through his sinless life, through his sacrificial death, Jesus paid the price to free us from our sin and to free us from the consequences of our sin. 1 Peter 1 verses 18 and 19 says this, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. At Christmas, we don't just celebrate the baby in the manger. We must also celebrate the Saviour on the cross. He came to set us free. He was triumphant. He achieved what he set out to do. It's almost as if we were trapped in a dark dungeon with no way out. And then someone came with a torch and with a key to open the door and let us out of that bondage. Jesus died for us. His purpose was not just to live, but to die so that we could have eternal life. We are blessed, we are set free, we are redeemed because of what Jesus has done. The author and preacher Timothy Keller wrote, Christmas is telling you that you couldn't get to heaven on your own. God had to come to you. And indeed, Christianity is the only faith, the only religion where instead of man trying to reach out to God, God reaches down to man. There's a hymn writer who put it this way, God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. It may be incomprehensible, but it's not impossible. The God who created everything we see and everything we don't with just the word, to create a baby in a mother's womb, that's easy. Jesus came to redeem us, but he also came to restore our relationship with God. Through faith in Christ, we are no longer slaves. We are children of the living God. It's the gift of adoption that we're talking about here. In the Roman culture, when someone was adopted, they received a full legal right and title to inheritance. They received all of the privileges that someone born into the family would have received. But adoption back in Roman times was something of powerful transformation. People's identities were changed And indeed, our identity is now in Christ. Romans 8:15 says, "So you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful, slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy, Dad." It's not formal, it's personal. It's not distance, it's relational. We are part of God's family. We are his children. And we're given forgiveness because of what Jesus did at the cross. But we're also now family together. Have a look at the person sitting near you for a moment. You are looking at someone in your family.
Oh dear.
Oh dear. We can't choose our earthly family. We can't choose our heavenly family. We can choose to follow Christ. And then God brings us together as his children. Think about a child in an orphanage waiting for a family. Then one day they're chosen and brought home. And they're given a new name. That's what God has done for us. We are chosen, we are loved, and we are given a wonderful new identity in Christ. J.I. Packer said, "Adoption is the highest privilege of the gospel. The traitor is forgiven, brought in for supper, and given the family name." To conclude, trust, celebrate, and share the gift. This Christmas Eve, remember that God's timing is perfect. Remember that Jesus came with a purpose to redeem us. And through Christ, we are adopted into his family. Tonight, as we gather around the communion table, let's reflect on the perfect gift of Jesus. His birth that led to his sacrifice, and his sacrifice that leads us to be born again into a new life. As we prepare our hearts for communion, let's remember that this table points us back to the birth of our Saviour. It points us back to the cross, but it also points us forward to eternity. The bread reminds us of his body broken for us. The cup symbolises his blood poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. We know the story well. The disciples were there in the upper room eating, and Jesus simply took some bread and broke it and blessed it. And he gave it to them saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine after the supper and gave thanks to God for it. And he gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It's poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many." As we come to the communion table, let's just take a moment to express our gratitude, our thankfulness for what Christ has done. Perhaps a couple of you would pray.
Lord, we thank you that it's not just the birth of a baby that we celebrate tonight. It's the beginning of the redemption that you brought. We thank you, Lord, that you were willing to come, that you were prepared to be confined in such an amazing way, but you did it for us. And we thank you that you were prepared to go all the way to Calvary so that we could have our sins forgiven, so that we could have a relationship with God the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you did for us. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Seems so inadequate. Two simple words, and we say quite often, Lord, that they are not adequate enough to express what our hearts feel when we see you, when we know you, when we experience the love of God through you, Lord. Jesus, I thank you that you were prepared to come to this world, this fallen place, as a baby, and to experience everything that we experience, and to go through every hurt and every pain that we would suffer, and to still love each one of us as we nailed you to a cross. Jesus, thank you that you allowed your body to be broken for each one of us, that you allowed your blood to be shed. At any point in any time, Lord, you could have stopped it. You could have said, enough, it's finished then and there. But you allowed it to carry on, and you died for each one of us. I thank you, Lord, that we get to share in your death. and we get to share in your resurrection. Tonight we celebrate your birth because it led to the ultimate sacrifice. Thank you for the emblems, Lord. I thank you for the bread that symbolizes your body broken for each of us. I thank you for the juice that symbolizes the blood that you shed for us. Father, let us remember that sacrifice as we take these emblems. Let it be a living experience of just exactly what you went through for each one of us. Help us to fully understand and appreciate what you gave up for each one of us, Lord. So we do indeed thank you from the bottoms of our hearts, Lord. We thank you and we give our lives as a sacrifice back to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord, for loving each one of us. We thank you in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. It would be easy to assume that as we're in church that all of us know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. But maybe you've never placed your faith in him. Maybe you've never trusted him. Perhaps for you, Jesus is just a picture on a Christmas card. Today, Jesus calls you to him. He invites you to participate in being part of his family, being adopted, being forgiven. And all you have to do is ask him to come into your life. We thank him that he came at the right time. We thank him that he achieved everything that was necessary for the salvation of all who will believe in him. Lord, I thank you that when we give our lives to you, that we are forgiven, that we're set free, and that day by day, you work in us and through us by the power of your Spirit, transforming us and changing us. We come to the table again, but we don't come as a religious exercise. We come out of remembrance of what you have done for us. Indeed, you commanded us to remember. Why? Because it would be so easy for us to forget, so easy to take what you did for granted. So once again, Lord, we examine ourselves before you. We ask you, Lord, to examine us. And if there's anything within us that's not right in your sight, help us to change. Help us to be continually transformed by your presence and your power in our life. And thank you for your sacrifice for each and every one of us. Bless you, Lord. We love you. And as Paul has said, thank you is not sufficient to express our joy and our gratitude in knowing that we are forgiven, that we're set free. Praise you, Lord. Amen. We have an open table. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, we invite you to partake of the emblems, the bread, the symbol of his body, the juice, the symbol of his blood. We'll eat the bread as we receive it, but we'll retain the cup to drink together to signify our unity in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We could not save ourselves. That's why we needed a Saviour. Any human form of sacrifice of birds or animals is insufficient to pay the price for our sin. If you think back in Old Testament times, the priests would sacrifice week after week, month after month, year after year, but none of that was sufficient. Yet Jesus, his single sacrifice was enough for all who will believe. His blood sets us free from the penalty of sin. We're washed, we're clean, we're made whole because of what he's done. Let's drink in thankfulness to him. Thank you, Lord, that at the cross, it wasn't just our salvation that was purchased. You paid the price for our healing too. And Lord, you know there are those within the fellowship or connected to our families that are unwell at this time, and they need a touch from you. I thank you that you are able, and I simply pray, Lord, that you would be willing to reach down and bring healing and wholeness. Perhaps, Lord, there are those whose families are damaged at this moment. I pray that you will bring reconciliation, that you will bring peace, that at this Christmas time, the love of Father God would be experienced by all. Pray for those, Lord, that may be alone at Christmas time, that you would be their comfort, that you would be their strength. Pray for those, Lord, who are uncertain at this time, that you would reveal yourself to them, that they may understand that there is one who loves them and has a perfect plan for them. And for those, Lord, that are tied up with all of the commercialization of Christmas, I pray that they will discover that without Christ, there is no Christmas. Breakthrough, Lord, I pray, around the world. May the message of hope, the message of reconciliation, the message of salvation be proclaimed to all that need to hear it. And may there be many who come to know you for the first time as their Lord and their Saviour. Indeed, Lord, I pray for the children that will be receiving or have perhaps already received the boxes from Operation Christmas Child. Speak to them, Lord. May they understand how much you love them from the gifts that they've received. And again, Lord, I pray for individuals, for families, for your entire communities to come to know you because the gospel has been shared. We rejoice this evening, Lord. Communion isn't a time of despair. It's a time of happiness, a time of thankfulness, a time of joy because of what you have already done. And I thank you that even now, 2,000 years later, your blood that was shed is still setting the captive free, still bringing healing, still bringing wholeness, and still bringing life eternal to those who will trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's here this evening. I ask, Lord, for that special blessing of Father, Son, and Spirit upon each and every one. Not just for Christmas, but until you call us home. Amen.
Amen.
Happy Christmas. May you have every opportunity to share the truth of Christ in this season. And may you know the blessing of Advent love, hope, joy, and peace. Shine a light this Christmas. Shine into the darkness. Help proclaim to everyone you meet who Jesus really is. And let's pray that God will meet with people, change them, transform them. 2025 is around the corner. God has got great things planned. Amen. Let's be willing to walk in step with the Spirit and do what he calls us to do. Dave, would you close for us in prayer, please?
Father, we're so grateful to you for this opportunity we've had to spend time in your presence and with one another. Thank you for the reminder of that great gift that was given. Thank you for the opportunity to celebrate the fact that we have been purchased, set free, and that we now live in a place of knowing and experiencing eternal life flowing through us. We just ask your blessing will continue to be with us as we go to our separate homes, and as tomorrow we meet, and as we gather with friends and with relatives in all the celebrations. May we always have in the back of our minds the greatest celebration of all is that God so loved the world, he gave his only Son.
Yeah.
That whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.